This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts from around the world. And today it is Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed.
Hello from New York.
Now let's start with some more Reddit Raider news. Shares in AMC have soared as investors on the popular Reddit Wall Street Bets board were at it once again. Do you think this is the touting of the stock in an effort to hurt short sellers who've bet against the theater operator?
Right now, it seems it's all about that short squeeze. On social media, Twitter, Reddit, AMC strong, AMC squeeze is trending. It's fascinating. I can't believe AMC it's up about, at one point this morning, it was over 1,400% just this year alone. And that just seems to be ludicrous. I'm struggling to justify the rationalization on these moves, but this is all about the short squeeze. And I think right now there's a lot of clever retail traders that are taking advantage of some illiquid conditions. This is, as we both in the U.S. and the U.K., we're looking forward to a three-day weekend. And I think you're also seeing that on Wall Street, a lot of people, a lot of hedge funds, money managers, they're trying to make this a four-day weekend. And there's some lack of participation. Today we saw shares jump over to reaching a high of 36.72. That's just, no one anticipated that, AMC should have traded near $20 back in January when the first time this meme stock frenzy happened. And now we're just seeing some wild swings, which, obviously are going to crush the short seller. But sadly, there are a lot of retail traders that are, they're waking up and seeing it's over 30. It's going to go to 50 is the thought. And they're going to get crushed here. And right now, shares are pulling back rather sharply. We're now below $25. So over a 30% drop in just the last hour or so. So I think it's the wild, wild west of meme stock trading. And this stock is going to probably come crashing down to earth eventually, once the damage to the short squeeze is over.
Meanwhile, Ed, the cryptocurrency market continues to slump, with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a whole host of major currencies losing values. But one brand new entry defied the slump, Dubai Coin. It rose a staggering 1,000% in just 24 hours.
That is part of one of the problems with cryptocurrency markets right now. It seems that there's over 1,000 coins, and they just keep having new ones emerge. Eventually, I think you're going to see this space consolidate. But right now, there's a lot of problems facing cryptocurrencies. The environmental impact has become an issue. It's getting addressed. I think that is going to be more of a short-term headache. But the regulatory fears, and there's too much froth. And I mean, if we keep having people create coins, that's just, flooding the speculative mania, which, obviously will probably have a bad result for all the majority of these coins. So I think eventually you'll probably see there'll be 5 to 10 coins that will serve an actual use case argument. But for now, this space needs to get cleaned up. And I think the regulatory fears alone are just keeping everything rather downbeat. So I think, Bitcoin is well below 40,000. It's at 36,000. But I mean, still, year to date, it's up 25%. That's not too shabby when you compare it to most of the markets we talk on a regular basis this year. So I think right now the volatility is going to remain elevated. But I think you're probably going to see the focused shift in these next couple months to the Fed. The Fed's going to have a paper on the digital dollar. And once we get more regulation on Bitcoin, I think we're going to see exactly how quickly they can adapt to that. And I think there is still a longer term argument for higher prices. But right now, this is likely to be a consolidation stage for Bitcoin. And I think, you know, the risks are still to the downside.
Now, a question for you, Ed, not that I expect you to be able to answer this, but is an Iran nuclear deal within sight? Negotiators returned for talks earlier in the week. That is for the fifth and probably the final round of discussions over bringing the US and Iran back into compliance with that 2015 nuclear deal. How do the markets feel about this?
Well, I think right now there's a certain date everyone has circled on their calendar. June 18th, that is the Iranian presidential election. It's likely we're going to get a hardliner. So the U.S. and allies are, I think, highly motivated to get this thing done. So I think both sides have their reason. And I think what you're probably going to see is the next week or two, everyone just needs to come off as if they got a good deal. So I think you're probably going to see something ironed out. The big debate on this deal is, you know, well, how quick will the sanction relief be for Iran? And if the problem is, you know, that's, you know, the question that could swing oil in $10 in either direction. So I think the market is pricing in that it's going to be a gradual easing of sanctions, where we might expect an extra 500,000 barrels per day from Iran by the third quarter, but they can obviously ramp up, you know, beforehand. And this is you know, not really dragging on oil though, because the demand recovery story is just totally dominating everything. And I think oil prices, they're still likely poised to be higher. There is a risk that the Biden administration might be a little bit more easier and provide a scenario where you could have the majority of the sanctions relieved, where, you know, we could get an extra 500,000 barrels than what we're already expecting in these next few months. And if that's the case, You're going to see prices, I think, really a lot lower from where we are. But eventually, I think the demand recovery will see investors buy that. So oil will be very volatile these next couple of weeks. But I think there's still a lot of optimism. And if we do have a major dip, I think there's still going to be a lot of people wanting to buy that.
Now, Ed, we've spent a lot of time talking about the prospect of rising inflation over the last few weeks. But those worries seem to be abating a little. Why is that?
Oh, very much so. I mean, today we had the hottest core PCE readings in nearly two decades. You know, just saying that headline, and you would think we would have, you know, treasury yields at, you know, starting to rise, and they're not. The market is convinced, the majority of the market is convinced inflation will be transitory. And it looks like the Fed is not going to budge on that, and that's keeping these yields, you know, fairly heavy. And if treasury yields continue to drift lower, that's just, for the most part, good news for risky assets, U.S. stocks, and also a weaker dollar, which is benefiting the euro and British pound. So I think you're going to see that it's going to take a lot to, I think, get treasury yields going higher. But you know, it's fascinating because we are below 160 on the 10-year yield, but the, you know, the consensus on Wall Street is that we're going to finish well above 2%, or possibly near 2.25% at the end of the year. So there's going to be a major reversal here. But for now, it's the Fed is just buying too much. The asset purchases, they need to be tapered. The amount of issuance and versus what they're buying, it's just simple supply and demand. Treasury yields can't really rally until they start to taper. So I think that's what's really driving the market right now. And it's going to take some really robust non-farm payroll reports and maybe a couple more really upside surprises on inflation readings and also wage pressure. So that can't happen in just a month or two. It's going to take, I think, quite a few of strong reports that will, you know, shift the market. So it seems that, the treasury yield lower, heading lower theme is not going away anytime soon.
So, Ed, I'm very pleased to say it is a short working week next week, because both in the UK and in the USA and in some other countries, no work on Monday. Hurrah! Tell me what's going to happen for the rest of the week. What stands out for you?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to be a jam-packed week because we have, U.S. closed for Memorial Day and UK markets observing that spring bank holiday. But Monday night, or Tuesday morning for you, China's manufacturing PMI readings are supposed to come out. You know, their recovery is steady, and I think we're going to see that there's expectations that it's going to look strong. It's still going to be expansion territory, but there's still, you know, some concern that these higher commodity prices are starting to weigh on the outlook. So I think investors will pay close attention to that particular report. Also, we'll have some key data for Japan. Industrial production is supposed to improve. That's an April reading, so it's a little bit old. Heading into Tuesday, though, Tuesday is going to be a big day. We have OPEC Plus. They have their meeting on output. It's really hard for OPEC to change course. So I think they're going to go ahead with their planned output increases. And I think they're going to, you know, heavily talk about Iran as far as what can they do going forward if Iran is going to be allowed to quickly ramp up their production. Iran will still be exempt. I think, if you've been dealing with sanctions, you know, you don't get a quota. So Iran they're likely to continue to have prospects for much higher production going forward. We also have an Australian rate decision. No major surprises. You know, right now, all the major central banks, they appear to be in wait and see mode. So I think you're going to see that's going to be a key stance by most of these banks. For the U.S. on Tuesday, we got that ISM manufacturing report. The recovery is still, clicking. We're going to have a strong manufacturing reading, supposed to be a slight improvement over the prior month. And then I think as the week evolves, there's going to be a handful of Fed speak. President Putin will give a keynote address. You're going to have a virtual Green Swan conference where we'll hear from Fed Chair Powell, ECB's Lagarde, and also PBOC's Yi Gang. So lots of central bank speakers and key officials that we're going to have to pay attention to. Interestingly, ECB, they will be providing a report on the international role of the euro. Everyone's just going to look for further clarity as far as where central banks are going with their digital currencies. And I think you're going to see a lot of people start to pay closer attention to what's happening in Europe and US and also in China on the cryptocurrency side of things. For the most part, then, you're going to see, I think, at the end of the week, it's going to be all about the non-farm payroll report. Supposed to see an improvement from that disappointing report we had in April. Jobs gains is supposed to be around 663,000. I would not be surprised if we had a positive revision for, the April reading of 266,000. And I think you're going to see that if we get some really robust readings as far as wages and employment hiring, that could start to get the treasury yields rising again. But for now, I think investors are really going to be focused on how this recovery is evolving. And right now, I think pricing pressures are really they're coming in, but as expected. And I think we're going to have to really wait a couple more months to see if that remains elevated. So a lot to take in next week, but I think it's going to be a busy week. But for now, it seems like the global economic recovery is strengthening, and that's been very positive for risk appetite.
Ed, as always, great to speak to you again, and we'll speak to you again soon. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
The Oanda Podcast.